the major aviation issues of 2010 and those which lie ahead. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is ANN founder, editor-in-chief, and CEO Jim Campbell. And we're here to reflect on the year just gone by, 2010, and the one that lies ahead, 2011, as well as maybe a look a little further into the future. And Jim, welcome in. I guess the first thing to observe is that we're still here doing aviation journalism, so something turned out okay in 2010.
Well, we survived. I mean, at this stage of the game, that may be the motto of the industry for 2010. We survived 2010. There is a look of weariness on the face of virtually everybody who's still plugging away in aviation right now. And normally you get to the end of a year and you kind of go, okay, well, great, it's over. But by all intents and purposes, the information that's at everybody's disposal right now indicates that, well, 2010 was nothing to write home about. 2011 is not going to be a major recovery year, and we're probably looking at 2012 or beyond before we see any sense of true recovery for the aviation industry. So right now, I think everybody's resigned to holding on as tight as they can to the reins and hoping for the best.
Well, and I see kind of an interesting collision coming there, too. I still have occasional contact with people from my previous life as a talk show host in the financial world, and the acquisition by AVIC of Continental Motors is very interesting. It has a couple of ways in which it makes sense from an inward look, but on a macro scale, it may signal the turning loose of capital across a lot of markets, because if, as many people believe, there's been pent-up capital waiting for the right time to time the bottom of the market, this may be a sign that those folks will say, uh-oh, it's begun. I guess the question becomes, there's plenty of stuff to invest in, but will anybody be ready to buy it?
Well, I think before anybody's ready to buy, they need to see some signs that we're actually selling. Now, we've talked to a number of folks across the industry. Matter of fact, we had an interesting conversation with the folks from Airfleet Capital who saw minute but progressive signs of people starting to shake loose of their wallets a little bit to finally take advantage of some of the spectacular deals that are available in the general aviation arena, especially in the high-end piston. But the real predictor, if you will, of growth and progress will be when we see the Cessnas and the Beeches and the Lears and Falcons and so forth of the world, and Embraer, of course, move new jets out the door at a rate better than they've been able to maintain in 2010. You got to remember, just a few years ago, a little bit over two, we had these phenomenally fat order books. I mean, we had order books that were extending halfway into the next decade. They were amazing. And not only did we lose it, there's been just no sign of when we're going to see any kind of resumption in any sense of growth.
Let's talk about 2011 then, because there are signs that the economy is starting to turn, and not just the government's declaration that the recession ended in 2009 in July. You know, we're starting to see upticks in a lot of leading indicators. General aviation, I wonder if it can be expected to lag. I see two things at work. One, people don't seem to have an awful lot of confidence. The latest consumer confidence numbers are poor. But on the other hand, there reaches a point in all of these cycles where people just get tired of sitting at home waiting.
And I think to a certain extent, that's one of the reasons why we've seen some of the activity that was alluded to by Airfleet Capital, that there are folks who have been on the fence for quite a while. And you know, they do see some bargains that are out there right now, but those bargains aren't going to last forever. We have two questions that will remain here as far as concerned, is when will people start buying? And two, what will be left to buy? Mooney, to all intents and purposes, is gone. They're down to a skeleton, and last I heard, it's going to be something like a dozen or so people left keeping the doors open and making parts. There are a number of other GA manufacturers in various degrees of distress. Cessna, of course, is in better shape than most, even though they've had to walk back significantly from the precipice. but they've got a number of different aspects to their business model. They're not totally GA dependent. They've got the BizJet world to work with, and there's some business there. And a fair amount of GA segment to work with, from the Caravan Group on down to even the LSA represented by Skycatcher. Piper's in better shape than most because they do have a couple of aircraft that fit very specific niches between the Meridian and, of course, the Matrix and the Malibu series, as well as a jet project in the works and capitalization that should keep them alive through the development process. They look to be a survivor. Diamond has had a rough year, both from a standpoint of having to deal with the fallout that occurred when the DA-42 was pretty much sabotaged by the failure of Thielert, which of course wasn't their fault, but at the same time they got left holding the bag. They're surviving, but they've got a really tough certification project with DJet. It isn't going to happen overnight. In some ways, they are a company that is best equipped to deal with a recovery and have more to offer when a recovery occurs. But waiting out that period of time and surviving till then is going to be tough. Cirrus, to be perfectly honest, the soul of that company left when Alan Klapmeyer was forced out. And I don't think we've heard the end of all that. There's no question that the company is trying to position itself for investment or sale. We've had significant rumors that the next Chinese target is Cirrus. They won't deny it. They indicate they have talked to them. Unfortunately, the current management of Cirrus is not very happy to talk about what's going on. There are a lot of folks accusing them of being less than honest and less than ethical in regards to how they're dealing with the industry right now. And they, too, have a jet project that's been put on the back burner, but that they keep trying to sell and tell everybody that, you know, there's going to be a jet around the corner, i.e., I think the current time frame is now 2013. But that strains credibility in the fact that if they had a flying production prototype right now, I don't think anybody would bet that they could get a certification project completed in 2 years. I think that no matter what occurs with Cirrus, if they get money, if they get the investment, whether it's Chinese or domestic or even another foreign investor, that the future for any jet is 4 to 5 years away minimum, and probably further. There are folks who have had deposits on this project for a long time, and there's no question that there's been some reports, and these were deposits that were supposed to be fairly quickly refundable. They're having tough times getting their money back, and Cirrus, it's a combination of management that appears to be hunkered down and doing whatever they have to do to survive. A change in ownership could be a very good thing for them, but once iconic American company, a company that was put forth as being all that was right and good about American ingenuity and entrepreneurship and in aviation, all of a sudden coming under Chinese control, that could be a killer. We just don't know.
Obviously, there's some mixed things to look forward to in 2011. When we get back from the break, let's talk about a little beyond that, because there's some chilling propositions out there for general aviation out into 2012. Jim Campbell is my guest, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
Welcome back to the special feature. Paul Plack here with Jim Campbell. Talking now, Jim, about the future, crystal ball range future. I know where you want to start with this, and that is a recent prediction by one analyst that oil prices could force gasoline, automotive gasoline, to $5 a gallon sometime in 2012. That was followed by a flurry of other analysts saying, no, that's just silly. But I don't know. It's already hit $4 a gallon in the last couple of years. And a combination of increasing demand for oil in general and rebounding economies adding to that thirst for oil, I don't see that as impossible at all.
Well, I think in particular when you look at the general aviation side of things, one of the things we have to remember is that our issues on cost are not just tied to the price of a barrel of oil, but in the refining and distribution capability that the GA industry has at the moment. And that has been tightening up over a period of time for quite a while now. And there's no question that it's going to tighten up further still. I mean, right now, $4 avgas is a bargain. It wasn't too long ago, two and change was a bargain. You can find it in the high threes in one or two places hereabouts, but not much. Five or six is not at all unusual. The big airports, seven and even eight, aren't unheard of. But the average pushing to 8 to 10 by the end of 2011 and into 2012 seems quite possible, if not probable. And that is really going to have a chilling effect on GA progress. We have the best in GA, are good, solid traveling airplanes, but they do burn a fair amount of gas to go fast and do the things that they need to do. My little Cirrus does 16 and a half gallons an hour at high cruise and is very efficient in that regard. But I got to tell you that when I have to pull up to a pump and see $6 to almost $7 for avgas, man, that hurts. And I will go way out of my way to find the cheaper stuff. Most of GA will do the same, but when the cheaper stuff no longer is available, it's going to have a chilling effect on a fair amount of GA. We have great hopes that as the 100 low lead scenario plays out and alternatives show up, that we will see some market stability. There are a couple of very good projects in the works. Whether or not they do get certified and do get distribution is a big question, but I think because it's so important that they do, that a solution will be presented at some point. There's 100,000 plus airplanes out there that need to burn avgas, and that is still a significant market to the right company and right distribution apparatus. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, I like to look for the silver lining in some of these things, and I think if it gets to that point where automotive fuel is $5 and avgas is 8 to 10, I like to hope that some enterprising folks will find it worthwhile to put in that second tank and pump and start serving up 92 or even 94 unleaded to the vast majority of the GA fleet that can use it, even if they don't represent the vast majority of hours flown.
Exactly. And we'll see. I mean, there's a whole segment out there that can use it and should you be able to use it. And there's some things that we might be able to do between computer-assisted engine technology, FADEC, and so forth that might allow us to either use those fuels or use derivatives of those fuels. It's one of the many little issues that 2011 and on to 2012 are going to demand our attention.
Tomorrow, in the conclusion of this conversation, what 2011 will bring to aviation journalism and the current state of the alphabet groups. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.